ಚಿಪ್ಸ್ ಕಲಿ ಮೂಡೊಂದು ಬಟ್ ಅವೆ ತಿಂದು ಬೋಡೋಲೆ ಕೋರು ಮೊಳಗೆ ಹುಣ್ಣು ಚಿಬೆಕ್ ಮೊಜಲಾವು ಹಂಗ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ತುಂಬ ಚೇ ಸಾವೊಯ್ಲೆ ಹೋಗಸ್ ಮಕ್ಕ ಸಾಯ ಬಾಮೋನ ಅವೆ ತುಂಬ ಚೇ ಕೋಸೊಯ್ಲೆ ಹೊಯ್ಸರಾವುನ್ ತಿಂಗ ಮಿಟ್ಟಿಯು ಮಾರಿ ನಾಕ ಕಾಳಿಸ್ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ತುಂಬ ಚೇ ಲಾಸ್ತೊಲೆ ಹೇಳಿ ಮುಜಿ ಕಾಸ ಬೋಡ ಯತಾವಾಸ್ ಗೋಯಾ ಅಂತ ದುಸರಿನ ಇರು ಸ್ವಾರುನ್ ಕೊಯ್ದ ಮಾಗ ಸಾರು ಗೋ ಖಾಸ್ ಅರೆ ಕಿತ್ಯಾತ ಸಂಜೋನ ಅಸಲ ಗೋಣ ತುಕ್ ಪೇಡಿ ದೀತಾ ಕುಯ್ ಸುಕ್ ಅಶೆ ಆಯ್ ಕೋಲ ಪೆಪ್ಸಿ ಗಾಲುನ್ ಪಿ ನಾ ತೋರ್ ಲಿಮ್ ಕಗ ನಾ ತೋರ್ ಸ್ವಾದ ಗೋಮ್ ಸೋನ ಹೇಳಿ ಮುಜಿ ಕಾಸ ಬೋರ ಯತಾವಾಸ್ ಅರೆ ಗೋಯಾ ಅಂತ ದುಸರಿನ ಇರು ಸ್ಮರಣ ಹೋಯ್ದ ಮಗ ಸಾರ್ಕೋ ಖಾಸ್ ಅರೆ ಕಿದ್ಯಾಕ ಸಂಜೋನ ರುಚ ಅಲಿ ಮುಣ ಬಟ ಅವೆ ತಿಂತು ಬೋಡೋಲೆ ಅವರು ಮುಳುಗೆ ಹುಣ್ಣು ಚಿಬಿಕ್ ಮಜಲಾವುನ್ ಹಂಗ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ತುಂಬ ಜೇ ಸಾವುಲ್ಲೆ ಬಾಟಲ್ ನೀರೋ ಜಾಯಿ ಆತ ಆತ ವರ್ಷನ್ ಮಾಕ ತಾಣೆ ತಾಪುಲೆ ಕೊಡ ಏನ್ ತ್ಯಾವಾಗ ರೋಜಾರ್ ಕೋರೂನ್ ಅವ್ರೆ ಹಾಕೊಂಡ್ ಮುಜಿ ಬಾಣ ರೀತಿ ಆಸತ್ ಮುಣೋ ಬಾಯರ್ ಓಡೋನ್ ತಾಕ ತಾಕುಲೆ ಇಳಿ ಮುಜೆ ಯಾಡ ನಾವು ಸುಳು ಪಾಮ ಗಾಜು ಎತ್ತ ಸೊಗಲೋ ಗಾವು ಬಿಸಿ ಪೊಲ ಚೊಲೆ ಎತ್ತ ಮಾರು ಗಾವು ಕಾವು ಎತ್ತ ಬಾಜಿ ಪಾವು ಬಾಟಲ್ ನೀರೋ ಜಾಯಿ ಆತ ಆತ ಪೊರ್ಸನ್ ಮಾಕ ತಾಣೆ ತಾಪುಲೆ ಕೊಡ ಕೊಡ ಏನ್ ದೇವಕ್ ರೋಜಾರ್ ಕೋರು ಒಳ್ಳೆ ಕಾಕುನ್ ಮುಜಿ ಬಾಣ ರೀತಿ ಆಸತ್ ಮುಣ ಬಾಯರು ಓರನ್ ತಾಕ ದಾಕುಲೆ ಪೇಣಿಯ ಚೊದೊಂದು ಪಾಯಿನ್ ಮೋಜಾ ಗಾಲು ಮಾಡೋಯ್ಲು ಪೇಣಿ ಬಾಟಿ ಪೇಣಿ ಸೋರೆ ಅಚ್ಚಿ ರಾಣಿ ಬಾಲೋ ದಿವಸೋ ಆಮಿ ಮುಂತಾಲೋ ಟೂರಿಸ್ ಕಿತ್ಲೆ ಎತ್ತ ಉಗಳಾಸ್ತೆ ಕೊತ್ತ ಪೇಣಿಯೇಚು ಏಕುನ್ ತುಕ ತಾಕ ಸೊಗ್ಲೆ ಅಂಕೌ ಸಾಂಗ್ತ ಇತ್ಲೋ ವಾಲೋ ರಾಸ ತೋ ಪೇಣಿಯೇಚು ಪೇಣಿಯ ಚೊದೊಂದು ಅಂಚೋ ವರ್ ಸಾಂಚೋ ಚೊಲ್ತಾ ಪೋಯ್ ಬೋರೋ ಪೇಣಿ ಪೇಣಿ ಮುಣ ನಾನಿ ಕೋರಿಯ ಪಾಮಾತ್ ಚೊದೊಂದು ಪಾಯಿನ ಮೋಜಾ ಗಾಲು ಮಾಡೋಯ್ಲು ಪೇಣಿ ಬಾಟಿ ಪೇಣಿ ಸೋರೆ ಅಚ್ಚಿ ರಾಣಿ ವಾಲೋ ಆಮಿ ಮುಂಟಾಲು ಟೂರಿಸ್ ಕಿತ್ಲೆ ಎತ್ತ ಉಗಡಾಸ್ತೆ ಕುತ್ತಾತ ಪೇಣಿ ಕಥಾಕ ಸೊಗ್ಲೆ ಅಂಕೌ ಸಾಂತಾಲು ಆಸಾ ತೋ ಪೇಣಿ ಎಕು ಕಥಾಕ ಸೊಗ್ಲೆ ಅಂಕೌ ಸಾಂತಾ ಇತ್ಲೋ ವಾಲೋ ಆಸಾ ತೋ ಪೇಣಿ
Roasted right here in Auckland, Everest Coffee use the highest quality Arabica AA coffee beans, giving you an elite blend of taste and strength. Treat yourself to the Wonder Coffee Bean. Enjoy Everest Coffee. It's for the discerning coffee palate. Everest Coffee. It's coffee at its peak. Available now at New World.
Namaskar. स्वागत करता तुमका आयच्या सुशेगाद दनपार प्रोग्रामा वयर. आमच्या सांगात आसा आज हेक्टर बाब. हेक्टर तू कसो आहे?
हांव
बरो आहा. आमचे वेदर एकदम बरें जाला आजकाल.
इट्स व्हेरी गुड.
झेवियर आसा आमच्या सांगात आणि आमचो सैरी जाऊन आसा सुकृती. What does Sukriti mean?
Sukriti means creator of happiness or happy creation. So it's Sukriti.
Yeah. Wow, that's too much to take on. Creator of happiness. Yes, we are here to create happiness with Sukriti with us. And we have Xavier who will be talking to her and asking her some of the pertinent questions which are pertinent to our... Earth, whatever, as you call it.
Thank you, Baptist. First and foremost, welcome to all our listeners. We've got something very, very special for you this evening. And can I make a request to all our listeners to get your teens and all those above 15, probably those in the early 20s, early 30s, because this broadcast today is very specially for you. We've got Sukriti here. Her name is Sukriti Mehta, and she is... not only a bubbling young woman of this age, but she is full of enthusiasm. Welcome, Sukriti.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome. It's really nice to have you here with us. And I know there are a lot of burning questions that our young listeners are going to be engrossed to ask you. And so we're going to start with this broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen, in three parts. The first part, we're going to have an introduction, and we're going to see... get a good close-up and a good look-see of Sukriti and see what all suk she's got in her and all the happiness. She's going to share her life experiences. And we're going to have that's the first part, the introduction. And then after that, we're going to have something on basically on her views on spirituality and philosophy, of which she is... again, quite a I wouldn't say an expert, but she's quite an enthusiast on that as well. And then the last part, when we before we wind off, is we're going to talk about again her passion for the environment and how we can contribute towards our culture and keeping the environment nice and clean and make the world a better place for us. Is that right, Sukriti?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So we have Sukriti with us, and she has a background. In marketing, marketing information systems and environmental science. And I think that's quite a lot to be having in one cup. But there you go. You've got someone who's really, really passionate about these things. And actually, a few months ago, probably a year ago, when I did go to her parents' house and I heard Sukriti today, I was enthralled and I was really, you know, impressed by her frank views. That time we were talking about Donald Trump, you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to ask you a little more questions on that a little later. But now we move on to you. And so can you give us a little bit of a background and let our listeners know something about yourself and your work? I know you're working at the moment with Chapman Trips, is it?
Yes.
And a startup called Zarin.
Yeah.
So over to you now. Let our listeners know more about you. Thank you, Sukriti.
Perfect. I moved to New Zealand with my parents when I think I was about 4 or 5. Oh. So I grew up here my whole life, basically, and I went to the same school my whole life.
School is that?
Mount Royal School.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
From primary, intermediate, and high school, I was there. So I have grown up in Auckland and in that area my whole life, really. And then I went to university and I did marketing, environmental science, and information systems, as you said. So currently I work in a startup where I get to focus on being at the forefront of legal technology and helping market that to the rest of the world so we can help make that process and that environment really efficient and easy so that everyone has access to justice. Yeah.
Okay. Just a little question. I mean, sometimes we get a bit confused, and me being an old hat and old school, you know, when you say information systems, is it the same thing as information tech IT? Is it the same or is it different?
It's not exactly the same. It's kind of how systems are used in business to make businesses more efficient. So things like, I mean, you're all accountants, as I have found out.
Yeah, these guys are.
Things like MYOB or using SAP and those things are information systems which help the business be more efficient.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of what it is. But I do know how to code.
Okay.
So that's...
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good.
That is helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how would you use... all these, I know you're working, but besides you're working for the young generation, what's the scope for them? Do you think, is this a good line? Is it something that has an opening career-wise? Or do you think it's something that is kind of not going to be sustaining itself?
Mm-hmm. So I think technology, especially within business, is always going to have a place. We're leaning more towards automation in a lot of industries, so it's important to understand from a career perspective how that will affect you and the job that you choose. But in saying that, there are a lot of skills that computers and other programs can't do, which we really need to focus on. So things like critical thinking and being empathetic and having emotional intelligence is very hard for a computer to do. So taking that into account, you can kind of go into any industry and be successful in there.
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah.
And of course, today we think of the world being, getting automated and things, manpower getting less and so-called artificial intelligence getting more. But won't there be a time when these automatic machines, so to say, they'll require maintenance, they'll require, again, they'll require the human mind.
Yes.
So is there something that we can think of in a sense of how do we have a kind of a bank of people who can help in future? Or is there something like that?
I don't know whether there would be like one bank of people that would control the whole world. I think that would be kind of scary, actually. But within businesses at the moment, there are a lot of divisions devoted towards technology and artificial intelligence just so that we can make processes a lot faster. So keeping that in mind, it takes a whole bunch of people to input their ideas into making that system. So say you're programming something, you need to know how that will operate and what inputs to put in to get out a certain thing. So there's a big push in STEM for women and different types of thought, people with a diverse background, not only, you know, physically in ethnicity or sexuality, but in thought. So it's really important to have like philosophers or social people who study sociology to be involved in these processes so that when we design certain programs or we go towards artificial intelligence, it helps all of society, not just some small parts of society. So, for example, Google Maps, it kind of gets you from A to B in the fastest way, but it doesn't really consider, you know, maybe the most scenic route or like the safest route, you know? So they're not really taking into account those kinds of things.
Oh, there's no aesthetic values in that, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a common mindset. And when we talk to common people, nowadays, even when you talk to the intelligentsia, when you talk to them, some of them say, oh, IT person, he must be from this part of the country or this part of the world.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get branded as such. Like, we know quite a lot of... We see a lot of people who are, even in California, even in Silicon Valley, you find a lot of particular countries and ethnicities who are branded as that. So why, what do you think? Is that specific to, is it purposely done by because of habit or because of push in academia by a certain creed or caste or what, culture?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's a good thing or...
I think there are specific skills which are required to do specific jobs, just in the way that the world is set up at the moment. Whether or not they're intrinsically right or wrong is a whole other conversation. But I think there's definitely barriers to entry in specific fields, such as technology or being a programmer or a developer, where, like, as a woman, I probably won't feel as welcome because there are less women in that field. So it's difficult for me to relate to... you know, just like a bunch of dev bros. It's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of companies now are actually pushing towards having more diversity, which, again, leading to my first part, would make those systems more efficient for a lot more people. So I think that it kind of just happens. I don't think it's purposeful. I think it just happens through...
Do you think is it like, you know, in terms of genetics, you say it's mutation, mm-hmm. where something's gone wrong and it's continuing to be wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm using the right word wrong. It's not the right word to use wrong, but it's something that's happened mm-hmm. that we get. There's no equity as yes. such in the whole world mm-hmm. as far as IT is concerned. So you right. get experts from expert countries
yeah.
and they're branded as that. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just puzzled at that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just where there is a bigger push. So there's a lot of, you know, programmers and hackers and developers in like China and Russia, for example, because there's a big push
yeah.
in them being competitive. Having more competition in regards to America, for example. Mm. So they have a big push in there, and they have whole like government departments related to that. So I think it goes from both ends. It's like business, but also like government, but also personal interests, like what you find interesting in society, what people are pushed to do. So. Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, because you know, when I did, I mean, I did visit the Google headquarters, and I found there were so many Indians there,
mm.
and I was wondering, oh my gosh, is this America? And that is America.
Yeah,
it's just that. So I just keep wondering, like, is it you know, it's a kind of a cliche that's formed there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what message would you like to give to our young people who are listening to you now? There are actually quite a many. I can see about 2,000 of them listening here.
Xavier,
I can actually
how do
see
you
that?
Manage to see that?
I got IT eyes. So, you know, what's the message for them? Like, not only message, how would you try to help them? I know your views are very outright and very hands-on and very practical for today's world.
Uh-huh.
So a message for them?
I would say it's important to know what you stand for. But I think it's also important to know how you contribute to the world. So it's a combination of those two things that will make you happy. And you can apply that to not only your career, but how you treat your entire life, how you treat your hobbies or the relationships that you have. Because you need to be true to yourself. It sounds cliche, but you actually need to know what your values are and live by those values.
With that excellent advice, let us hear a song.
In Konkani?
In Konkani, yes.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Bhai bolam poishanji ashadako prai
Welcome back to Shikshaka Dhanpar. You are listening to Shikshaka Dhanpar. And we have got with us Xavier, Hector, and Sukriti.
Yes.
Before I get into the program, I just want to make some announcements. And that is coming weekend basically, that is on the 19th
Saturday.
Of October, Saturday, we have got a Konkani Theatre, Mogachi Bokshi. And I hope you all have got your tickets. If not, hurry up, because they have actually literally sold out, I think.
I heard they are sold out, yeah.
Probably sold out.
But
okay.
Maybe one or two, we can try your luck.
Oh, yes. Is it? Because, you know, I had told Francis to keep one ticket for me, but I've not yet paid for it. So, Francis, if you're listening, today or tomorrow, you'll get not only $15, but a $5 late fee in your bank account.
Hector, what Francis will do is give you Mogachi Bokshi, means
a box of love.
Love offering.
Is that a box of love or love?
No. It's absolving you with love.
With love. Okay.
Oh, okay. For your foil.
One of the nice things about the Tiat, whenever they have it,
yeah,
they have a very good canteen going. So in the interval, you can buy things. The only complaint I have about this is that so many people take, right at the beginning,
takeaways
for their families.
Yeah.
So everything, nothing is left. Everything gets over by the interval time, right? Okay. The other announcement which I have to make, and which is a little far away from today, it's the Wish Drive, which is coming up and on the 9th of November. And
who's organizing that, Baptist?
Is it Melting Pot?
Melting Pot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes. Melting Pot is in action now
very
again.
Good, very good.
After quite a while.
So, 9th of November.
And yeah. And who's doing that? Do you know?
Nesta, of course. And Edward Kitt is very passionate about it.
And
I think you're helping out also, Baptist.
I'm trying to join them, yes.
And what does Whist mean, just for our listeners who may not know?
Whist is a card game, which is, it's called Seven Hands.
Yeah.
It's played like bridge, but it is not bridge.
Without the bridge.
Without the bridge, as you rightly said. And the major points is people keep on rotating from one table to another. Two people who win shift to the other tables, and who lose sit on that same
table. Very enjoyable.
And it's very enjoyable. And
after the whist, during that same thing, they have certain 10 rounds.
Yeah.
And then there's a trivia.
There's a trivia too, yes.
Yeah, which is very
and
good.
There are lots more happening, and I think these people are organizing it and trying to get back the olden glory which we had earlier.
So it's on the 9th of November,
9th of November.
At 7:30, I guess.
Yes, yes.
At the Blockhouse Bay Community Center.
Absolutely.
We'll be reminding you, listeners, again.
And also, I wanted to tell our listeners, since it is now, we are getting into summer, there are a lot of exercises being offered. One is by Carmen on Sunday at Marshall Lang School, and then on Saturdays we have got something called Bollyworks, which happens on Newland Community Center, and on Tuesday we have got Zumba in our parish.
That which is, parish?
Richardson,
Christ the King.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
CKT Parish, yeah.
Zumba.
Okay. At 7:30, I'm not very sure, every Tuesday.
Is that run by you, Baptist?
No. Unfortunately, no.
While talking about fitness, that's not planned, but I've been tempted to speak since you said about fitness. So I'm going to use this platform based on the push by Baptist. Yeah. If you guys want real good health, contact my son. On RexFit.
Yes.
Watch his videos on Instagram. He's making some fresh videos where he's getting ready to prepare. He's going to take part in his bodybuilding and fitness championship on the 26th of October.
Fantastic.
So, listeners, if you want to get fit, have a look at RexFit and Rex's Instagram. But anyway, that's thanks for
that.
That was off the cuff. It was not planned. But anyway, so let's welcome Sukriti back. It was really nice having you, Sukriti. Your views are really, really awe-inspiring. And now we go to the second part of our dialogue with Sukriti. And she's going to talk about spirituality and we're also going to grill her on philosophy. So we're going to use a lot of philosophy here and also talk a little bit, which is something you need to hear because we are now going to talk about exactly this, and that is a bit of mental health. So, Sukriti, I just want to, test your brains and share with us your lovely ideas on spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I grew up in a very Christian household, which was different because all, like, my parents, you know, converted after they moved to New Zealand. So it was really different for me and my other friends who are also, you know, like immigrants. It was different being raised like that. Mm-hmm. But I went to church when I was young, but I never really resonated with the message or anything. But I think the fundamental ideas that are taught in most spiritual practices or religions are really important, even if you don't agree with like the organized religion aspect of it.
Yeah.
So I think those ideas always just stuck with me, but I found them through different places like philosophy or specifically Buddhism and Taoism.
So in your thinking, mm-hmm. how would you talk about spirituality and religious beliefs? So how would you play? I wouldn't say play against each other, but mm-hmm. how would you feel or your views on that?
I feel as though you can be spiritual without necessarily having to belong to a religious denomination, and I think sometimes it's important to know that you can do that. I think religion gets a lot of backlash these days because sometimes it can be problematic, but so are a lot of ideologies. So I think they have a lot of things in common, just like the basic values and morals, which you can always learn from, but you don't necessarily have to choose one over the other or fight wars about it, which have been done in the past.
Okay. And so what's the philosophy about living as such, you know, when you talk about life?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you go about that? Mind you, I mean, I'm asking your views because we want the listeners to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think the most important thing to me that has helped me a lot is understanding that I have personal responsibility and taking that personal responsibility in all aspects of my life. You know, I have struggled with anxiety and depression in my teenage years and even to this day. So it's really important for me to keep pushing myself to be better. Otherwise, I know what state I can end up in. So, yeah, taking personal responsibility for your actions and kind of knowing where you want to be in life and where you don't want to be kind of helps you to do all those little things that you need to do to kind of get out of those really dark places.
Well, I'm just prompted by Hector. In the last session, before we came to the second part, you did talk about your values, building up your values, and then, working on those, which is really, that's a really good message.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, that's really good. We need to have a kind of a clear idea of what we want to do, what mm-hmm. are our values in life, and then how to make sure that we fulfill those.
Yeah.
Now, I did catch on you saying that you have a lot of anxiety even till this day. Of course, we all have anxieties. All of us do have anxieties, and we do have a strife within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to know what's right from wrong at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how are you going to measure this in terms of whatever you've gone through and whatever mm-hmm. you've experienced?
Mm-hmm.
How's your anxiety level or state now?
Yeah.
And how are you facing it? And what is it that is creating some...
So I think about 2 years ago, I had a really bad anxious period where I kind of didn't leave the house for 2 months.
Oh.
And I think that's the worst that it's ever gotten. And like every time I would go to uni, I would feel, you know, dizzy, like I was going to pass out. So I would have a lot of panic attacks and things. And I never really knew why it was happening, but it was happening because of a lot of different like root causes that I won't really go into.
Yeah, not fine.
But I think for me, what personally worked, and this may not work for everyone, was pushing myself every day to do things that made me uncomfortable. So pushing myself to do things that made me uncomfortable made my brain make the connection that these things aren't scary or harmful. So I, even though it was very, very difficult, I would go to uni every day and sit in that class and, you know, breathe and try to just be there, even though I was extremely uncomfortable and just wanted to get out of there. I think the scariest thing that I did was I went on a trip for 6 weeks with my friends to Korea and Japan, which sounds like an amazing opportunity. We get to travel with your friends. That's awesome. But for me, it was actually really scary because I was going to be in a completely different environment where I didn't really feel safe or know what would happen if something went wrong. But I was climbing a mountain, Mount Misen, with my friend, and I realized that I can actually do a lot of things. I kind of had this epiphany moment where I was like, if I push myself and am uncomfortable, the limit of what makes me uncomfortable changes. And I think that was the biggest thing that helped me with my anxiety. And so, because I realized that if I'm anxious to go to uni, I'm going to be anxious to go to work. You know, I'm going to be anxious to kind of make a living, and that's no way to live your life.
Yes, yep.
So I had to, you know, go through that to understand that you need to always push yourself. And now that I've kind of gone through that, I do have some times, but it never dips as low as it did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And so I'm really grateful to be in that place now.
Yeah.
So being in that situation, what mm-hmm. is your message to our youngsters who are facing such kind of mm-hmm. hurdles in life?
Yeah.
And trying so hard. And a lot of depression is coming into, because I have seen a lot of depression cases coming in now than they were earlier, because there's a lot of pressure on youngsters to perform.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
There's a lot of competition,
mm-hmm.
which was not happening during our days.
Yeah.
We are talking about olden days.
Yeah.
Probably 50 years, 60 years ago.
I'm not old.
You're not old, okay. There are two youngsters here again. So we'll ask them afterwards what they are feeling like. But presently, the focus is on you.
Yeah.
What message do you want to give them? Because they are going through that anxiety, that fear, mm-hmm. and that step to take forward. Like you have crossed those barriers, and you have got that first-hand experience. Why? Mm-hmm. How do you want to share that with our listeners and our youngsters there out?
Yeah. I think firstly, if it's really, really difficult, you would want to seek out some help. And I find that sometimes talking to people that you know, they might not say the right things and it can make things worse. So if you have access to that, if you have access to some help, like professional help, you should definitely take it. But for me, what worked was understanding why I wanted to not be in that place. So for me, it was really important that I'm able to go out and experience life and do all the things that I want to do. So keeping that in mind, I kind of built backwards from there. So I was like, if I want to travel again, I don't really want to be this anxious. So what steps do I have to take to not be that way?
Okay.
So when you start with your why you want to be a specific way, I think it helps guide the way to move out of it.
So you get the answers yourself. In the sense, you self got your answers rather than going out somewhere and getting that help. Are there any agencies which help people? There must be lots of agencies.
Yeah, there are a lot of agencies. I think it's best to just Google them, because I'm not affiliated with any, so I wouldn't. I don't want to suggest some. And then
correct.
Yeah.
So you can go to your teachers, your parents, neighbors, or whoever that is.
Someone that you trust.
Somebody you trust. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's what I was coming to. I was not getting the right word.
But on just one comment, I would like. Yeah, as Sukrita said, sometimes if you talk,
Sukriti.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sometimes if you talk to people, they may give you the wrong message.
Yeah,
and so it's very necessary to seek out the right people to talk to. You know?
Exactly.
But in your case, I guess you kind of introspected yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I have a great support system, so I'm very fortunate to have friends that I can talk to who help me a lot. And my parents, of course, they're very understanding. So, I think I wouldn't have gotten out of anything if it wasn't for my support system.
Is that when your spirituality developed more and you relied on it a lot?
I think it did. I think I had to, you know, when you go through tough situations, you always have like this existential crisis. You're like, why do I exist? Yeah. Why is everything so awful and bad? And at that time, I was seeking out a lot of answers from different places. So whether it was, you know, different philosophers like Eastern philosophy, Western philosophy, religious ideologies. Yeah, I think it was kind of like an amalgamation of all of those things that kind of helped me get to this point.
Yeah, at this juncture, let's listen to another Konkani song. Hector.
sukuni sauza mun shabori ulai dante teri mog tancha kara sansar mulya gonterant jiye tat sukuni sauza mun shabori ti ulai dante teri mog tancha kara Sos muga ulung suksuna yekas fora tu maka somza shinter oso gai tolo tolen muja mug muzu osos muga ulung suksuna yekas fora tu maka somza shinter oso gai tolo tolen muja
That was a lovely song. Sushagat karta tumkas portyan aicha sushagat danpa program aver. Amcha sangat aaja asa Sukriti ani Xavier ani Hector ani ami
ata ani Baptist.
Ata some more announcements again. Konkani Triath is coming next weekend. That's on the 19th of October. And it's Mogachi Bokshi at Freemasons Bay.
Yeah.
I hope you have all got your tickets. I think they are all sold out, according to Xavier. But Hector is still hoping that he'll get a ticket. So, Francis, if you're listening to this program, keep one ticket for Hector, please.
Oh, it's already booked.
Booked already. So, you're going to pay the
penalty. I just have to pay.
We also have Wish Drive coming up on 9th of November. And get ready for a very good evening on the 9th of November. And due to the summer coming up, you have got a lot of exercises, venues for exercises. Carmen does exercise on Sunday at Marshall Lang College or school between 4 and 6. If you would like to join them, it's a fun evening. Join Carmen. And then we have got Bali Works on Saturday at Newland Community Center. And then we also have Zumba on Tuesday at Christ the King Parish Hall, every Tuesday. And Xavier, you want to say something, Addison, or you want to come to the one of the Zumbas?
Yeah, I will come to the Zumba. Yeah, but I was just trying to push on regarding Rex Fit, which I said earlier. Yeah.
All right, that's all.
And you know, while we are talking about this, I would also like to promote Shruti's mom, who is running a fantastic shop where she gets garments directly from India.
Okay.
And these are really, really awesome, beautiful, and in fact, one of our main clients is Doreen. And she's all the, I can't find Doreen at home. I know where to find her. She's in Shahposh.
Okay.
So Shahposh is the name of the shop, which is at Mount Roskill shops at Mount Roskill Junction, you know, where the lights are.
Where the lights are, okay.
Yeah. Okay, now let's get on to our third part. And again, this is something very exciting because we're going to talk about an issue that everyone is concerned about, everyone is passionate about, but fortunately or unfortunately, everyone does nothing about it. And that's about our environment. And so Shruti is here to talk to us, or rather Sukriti is here to talk to us about environment science and the effect it has on our culture and our and on our communities. So if you remember the last time, in the last talk that we had before this, Sukriti very, very nicely summed up and said that you got to dare to do the impossible.
Yep.
So take on the impossible, and that's how you get a kind of peace of mind. And I think I also overheard her say it's a choice, you got to make a paradox of choice. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can take on from there.
Oh, we were just talking about the paradox of choice that something I think about a lot is, you know, you would assume that having a lot of choices means that you have more opportunities and you're happier, but actually it can be the opposite because you have too many choices and you can't decide what the right path is. And so you create all these pathways in your head as to what could be most successful. But I think that can be more damaging than it is good.
I think it will create more confusion in your mind as to what to choose.
Yes.
Too many choices, it becomes very difficult. That's why people staying in the villages do not have too much of choice and they are more happy.
Yeah.
So I think
you had something on
sometimes
that.
You have to keep your tell your mind to keep quiet and listen to your heart.
Oh, yes.
Follow your heart.
I always listen to my heart.
Yeah. That's good.
So you're talking about environmental science and mental health. Would you like to stress more on that?
So I studied environmental science in university. So I kind of got to understand the, you know, back end of environmental science, which is more like the biology, the chemistry that goes on, but also understanding how public perception, risk, and decision making really impacts what happens in the world. And this is both on like a governmental level, but also on a private business level. And I think it's awesome that people are, there's so much more openness to be more environmentally conscious, but I think we can all be more introspective and try to understand how to be more conscious consumers. And I think with young people now, there's like a dichotomy of things. It's one that you don't want to make things worse for the planet, but you also, because of social media or pressures of that kind, you feel like you have to have a certain facade that you show to the world. If, for example, there's a larger increase in buying, you know, branded clothing and branded fashion because it's a lot more accessible to young people. But I don't know how much they think about the environmental impact of that. So that's something to consider. And one way that, you know, where I'd want to take my career going forward in like the operations side is to have more traceable supply chains and value chains so that on a piece of, you know, piece of whatever product or service that you're buying, you're able to know where the product actual little things came from, and you know whether any, you know, communities or any suppliers have actually been exploited, or you know that they're getting paid a fair wage that's helping their communities. And I think that's one way that we, you know, consumers can keep companies more accountable for what they're actually producing, instead of just consuming mindlessly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens when you find, sometimes you have these countries or these producers that are making stuff.
Yeah.
But then again, though it's wrong environmentally, it's not all that friendly. Mm-hmm. And, you even talk about child labor and stuff like that.
Yes.
But then you have countries who are backing up these people because it's because of the finances and the money that's pouring into the country.
Yeah.
So it's all about wealth here.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yes.
I mean, how do we curb this? Because on one hand, you have those who are, excuse my term, but those who are greedy for money promoting it, then you have governments who have to rely on these greedy people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we step up? But how do we,
Yeah, that's a very tough question because we all rely on products, especially FMCG products that we have to use every day. I mean, you don't have to use them, but if you don't, it's kind of difficult. Like, you need to buy shampoo and soap and all these things. That's a very tough question. I think it again comes down to having, like, forcing them to be more transparent with what they do, because environmental sustainability kind of oftentimes goes hand in hand with ethics and ethically producing a product.
Yeah.
So it's that intersection of those two things that's really important.
Yeah.
Alternatively, because of the internet and e-commerce and everything that's come up, it's a lot more easier for independent brands to create products.
Yeah.
And so it's becoming a lot more democratized in how we consume certain products.
Yeah.
They might be a little more expensive, but you're willing to trade that off by knowing that
But again, Even though you do like you do shopping across the internet or through the internet, but again, it's not foolproof because some of the products claim to be organic and claim to be environment friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
But in reality, they're not.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's one. And and again, about you are just diverting a bit. So you're talking about the mental health.
Yeah.
Right, so I know you were linking this with the culture and the mental health.
Yeah.
So how does this? There's a lot of going on in the mental health, and I just come to my one question. Do you feel New Zealand is doing enough for sustainability and the council here? They're talking about zero free waste by 2025. I think if I get it right, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it's possible, or is it just a kind of a vague dream?
I think it's tough. Because so much of the infrastructure that exists for businesses to produce or, you know, even the products that we get imported, how supply chains work now globally, it's really difficult to, you know, achieve that. But I think it's possible. You just need to have really good leaders in place to make that happen. And I think it's oftentimes more controlled by business than it is government.
Yeah, true.
You can have these standards, but... You know, it takes like all of the people involved to make it actually happen. Yeah.
So how can the youth do that?
Me? Like us, people in general. Well, you can start with maybe starting a compost at your home or encouraging, you know, local people in your community to have like a shared garden, for example. So you're reducing waste in that way. Buying products that you trust, which could be difficult. You know, you don't know where they actually come from, but buying things that have less plastic or have less packaging, for example, I think the best thing to do is just to consume less. You know, like, do you really need to eat that packet of chips? Probably not. Just don't eat it, you know, because that's plastic.
I agree with you. But like a person like Hector will agree with you more than me. And I think even Baptist will, and even Richard is not here.
Yeah.
They'll agree with you more than me because I'm a bit of a lazy guy. You know, I wouldn't like to go and do the compost. I would definitely not like to do the compost kind of thing. I would like to just dump things and go and do my other work, which is of more passion to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, you know, I know we talk about these lifestyles of, you know, do this, let's do compost, don't throw rubbish, don't do that. But sometimes it's difficult for a person like me.
Yeah.
I would like rather like to go and read a book or go and play a game or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think it comes back to, like I said, the infrastructure doesn't exist for us to do that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of cities in New Zealand have like a green bin where you can put all your organic waste and that gets taken care of. So that's something that we should try to implement in Auckland as well.
I wanted to do something.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask...
Shukriti.
How the other ways in which just a normal person like us and Xavier specifically, who doesn't want to do anything specific, can just do a little to make it
more sustainable.
More sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you have to make a little bit of an effort,
to change your
habits.
Good.
And I think it's the idea that everything has been so easy for us that has kind of been our demise, you know, as humans, that we've kind of always gone towards making things more convenient and easy. And, you know, companies like Amazon, who are on one hand doing amazing things, but at the same time, it's really bad for the environment because you expect things to be delivered to you on the same day, you know? So I think it is just about scaling back a little. Yeah,
Or just even switching off the lights, using less power.
That is the starting
less air conditioning, and you know, just maybe sharing you know, what is that called? A vehicle to going to office and consuming less fossil fuels.
Sharing a ride, basically.
Sharing a ride. But that's, you know what, sharing a ride. It's good theoretically, but practically it's not good because then I got to wait. You know, I've got to go and I go, oh, Hector's going to pick me.
True.
I'm waiting. I'm wasting like 10 minutes. And Hector says, I'm coming at 8:10 and he's stuck in traffic. Oh, no, I'm coming at 8:40.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
Yep.
So, you know, these are good theoretically, but practically, you know, my daughter-in-law, Dylan, she's part of this so-called environmental thing. She's really pushing it a lot. But I find it's good. It's really good. The council is trying. We have to make we have to make an effort. We have to change our habits. Yes. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's difficult.
Yeah. Everything is difficult here, Xavier. Yeah. But we need to.
No, making love is not difficult.
Like, for example, you're saying you're waiting for your friend to come and pick you up.
Yeah.
But if you go and talk to four of your neighbors, you're staying there.
Yeah.
Take one car, four of your neighbors. So you don't have to wait for anybody.
No,
you start from that point, end at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are coming to an end of the program. Xavier, would you like to talk about?
So at this point, we'd like to thank all of your listeners. Thank you for your listening watch on us. We've had a fantastic, a lovely, good dialogue and a lively dialogue with Shukri, who is passionate about the environment, is passionate about mental health. Of course, she couldn't have much of time, but we can call her again for that.
Yep.
And then we've also had a nice talk about her spirituality. And again, we could beat her on that as well and get some more views. And also about other things in life. And if you have any other queries, don't hesitate to ask us or email us. And till then, take care. Thank you, Shukriti. Thank you, Baptist. Thank you, Hector.
Thank you, Xavier.
Does Shukriti want to tell us something, some message for our youngsters?
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good sign off. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, as I said before, try to figure out what your values are and try to live by them. I think that's the best way to be happy. And yeah.
Okay, cool. That's great. Thank you very much.
That's already a good change.
And thank you, listeners. And here's for our last song of this evening.
Woohoo. Bye bye.
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 Cherao go dao nakai motoran bose dao mo jatu ka soklek mondai tatu ka dao dao moto nakai pon maka macherao go dao nakai motoran bose dao mo jatu ka soklek mondai tatu ka tu pole na maka dia ta goloka tu ka limpita mulla tu munta naka 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 Love you, Mutler, Muntago, tu sotenaka, sotenaka.